Scripture tells us in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. We are broken people. And we come to worship a God who lives and gives us strength and who sustains us. We worship a God who does not fail, who does not falter. He is in this place. And for that, we worship. Even as our hearts are heavy, hurting, for our loved ones, we come to worship with everything that we have. Let us pray together. Father, this day is yours, just as it was yesterday, and just as it will be tomorrow. We are yours. For you created us. You know us. You know our pains and our faults and our hurts and our joys. You know our very needs. You know we need to be here this morning. Father, we worship you. And we give you praise and thanks that you are alive, sustaining us, giving us strength. May it be so as we worship you with everything that we have this morning. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
a beach ball?
At the beach.
At the beach. Do we do it in the sanctuary? No. So it's a way for me to do this, right? All right. At the beach. We like going to the beach, right? We love going to the beach. We love playing in the sand, playing in the water. There is a really fun beach that I've... Hello, Rebecca. How are you? Nice purple shoes. All right. Are they on the right feet? All right, here we go. What we do, we go to the beach. There's a really cool beach that I've heard lots of really cool things about. I have never been to it. It's in a town called San Diego over in California. But you know what they also have? They have like one of the coolest zoos ever. The coolest zoos ever. You like going to the zoo? Well, I've got a beach ball. We can go to the beach. I've got some money. We can go to the zoo, right? Wouldn't that be a fun day to go to the beach and then go to the zoo and see the animals? Well, there this morning, I'm thinking about there's a family called the Sanchez family. They moved to San Diego to live. Can you imagine going to the beach to live and you're close to the beach and you're close to the zoo? Do you know why they moved there? They moved there to tell people about Jesus. They're what we call missionaries. You've heard that big word before? This morning, our church has given money to help them spread God's love. Sometimes they can go to the beach and talk about Jesus there. Sometimes they go to places like the zoo and they share God's love. I think, you know, I've been to the zoo before and it was a lot of fun, but I could also give this money to the Sanchez family. And you think they can share God's love and use this money to do something nice for those people? That's exactly what our church did this morning. We give money so missionaries can go to places like San Diego and help people come to know Jesus' love. It's the same way the youth group. They're going to a country. Do you know what country we're going to? Belize. Yeah. We're going to go, and the church helps us raise money to go to Belize to help share God's love. You can do that too. Wherever you go, you can share God's love. Can you help me do that? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so very much for people like the Sanchez family, who felt like they should move to San Diego to tell others about you. It sounds fun to go to the beach and go to the zoo, but we know they need our help through our money and through our prayers to teach people about Jesus. Thank you that we can do that right here in Winston-Salem. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name.
You know, during the season of Lent, we have the opportunity to enter into confession time together and be assured in our spirits that we are forgiven by a loving God who gave us Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I invite you to, first of all, hear these beautiful words from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. Listen with your heart. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to me. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Would you please join me in our confession together? Lord God, we come into this place to praise you for your righteousness, your holiness, your goodness, and your love. We come knowing that you are full of mercy and compassion, and we praise you for those attributes. We come confessing that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Father, we need you, for we are unable to do any good on our own. Merciful God, please hear our confession and forgive our sins. I invite you now to enter into a time of silent confession. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin that is ours through Jesus Christ. Remind us that no matter what we may bear, no matter what valley we're in, no matter what happens to us, you are there. And we thank you for your everlasting presence and how you bind us with your strong cords of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now hear these wonderful words of assurance from Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. How grateful we are for God's presence here with us. Always, wherever we go, and especially here as we worship.
Thank you. welcome now to a time of thanksgiving. And we are thankful because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Especially in this time of Lent, we look to the cross. Think of what we have to be thankful for. The hope and joy. And the unbelievable love that we have for Him. Won't you pray with us? Almighty God, in this season of Lent, we recognize that we are all broken. We are all hurting. Not just in this building, not just in this community. But Father, that all people are hurting and broken people. But because of your sacrifice, we can give thanks for who you are. Thanks for what unbelievable love you have showered upon us. And for that unbelievable hope that we cling to. We thank you for that. Pray that each and every day we would give thanks for the many ways you work in our lives and the opportunities you give us to glorify your name, to share your message with those who need to hear it. Amen.
Thank you.
But unless you repent, you too will all perish.
Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? It continues, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then we'll cut it down. And naturally, we want to know what happened to the tree, right? If you look at it, changes course. On the Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching one. We don't get to find out what happened to the tree. And we want to know what happened to the tree. But the point of the story is really not about the tree. You see, some people came to Jesus and they told him about these Galileans who'd been slaughtered by Pontius Pilate. And as a result of the slaughter, their blood had mingled in with the temple sacrifice. This had all happened in the temple. The historical setting for this is quite poignant. They were at a time in their history when these occupying forces from Rome were very much in charge, and they wanted the Jews to know they were very much in charge. And so occasionally they would pick an opportunity to remind the Jews that they could do pretty much whatever they wanted to do to the Jews, even in the temple. And so that's what's going on here. And after hearing about the incident, Jesus asked him, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the Galileans? And of course, the answer is no, they were not. And then he brought up the freak accident of the Tower of Siloam that fell over when it did, killed 18 people. And he asked that question, do you think that they were worse offenders than the others living in Jerusalem? And again, he doesn't give them time to answer. He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. And you go, oh, wait a minute. We just had an innocent question, and now all of a sudden you get really personal about it. With all this repentance thing. You know, and if only Jesus hadn't added that last part, this issue would have been a lot clearer. It would have been a lot cleaner. But then he starts talking about repentance. And it sounds as if there really is some kind of connection between bad things happening and being a bad person. But take a deep breath and relax. That's not what he's saying. That's not the message here. In context, the message is that we should turn our attention to our own lives and stop speculating about others. Don't judge their worthiness. Look at your own life. Life is short. It's precious. Stuff happens along the way. And Jesus is saying, be ready. Do those things that you should be doing today. Pay attention. Bear fruit of righteousness. Jesus reminds us that life truly is precious. And we should be doing things that have eternal significance. And you go, well, that went out the stewardship lesson. Yeah, go up. We should be investing in eternity. We should be doing things that have eternal significance. So when you look back at what you did maybe this morning, maybe last week, when you look back at what you've been doing lately, what about that has lasting meaning? Now, I get it. I understand there are things that daily we just seem to kind of have to do. I get that. But did we take time during all of that to play with our children or our grandchildren or visit with someone across the street who needed to have a visit? Do we take time to visit with our good friends and tell them how much they mean to us? Do we take time to meditate and let God speak to us, to pray, to read His Word, talk with God, pour ourselves out to Him, share with Him our anger, our frustrations, our hurts, and our joy? Are we good news to the people we work with? And are we good news to the people that we live with? I can't tell you how many times at funerals or in the room of a dying patient, I've heard family members say something along the lines of, you know, I just wish I had one more day. There were things that I should have told mom or dad or my son or my daughter or my cousin or aunt. Or I just wish that I had told them more that I love them. I should have told them that I forgive them. I should have told them how much they mean to me. And as I hear these comments come out, it's all I can do to keep from screaming, well, why didn't you? Why didn't you tell them? You see, to be reconciled to others is one of the most important things that we can do. But sometimes we put it off. And it's too late. The fruit of righteousness. That's what we are to be bearing in our lives. Not of the sin or hatred or prejudice. Righteousness. And that begins right here. Begins with us as we worship together, as we work together, as we encourage one another. You see, just showing up and occupying a pew every now and then, that's not bearing fruit. You know, this story today really kind of gets at the heart of our presumed spiritual security. I remember reading a story about a fellow named Garrison Keillor. He's a good storyteller. And he says this. He says, quote, "You can become a Christian by going to church just about as easily as you can become an automobile by sleeping in a garage." Okay, you had to go there. But there's a lot of truth to that. You know, Jesus uses the example of a fig tree to make it really jump out at us. It had not borne fruit for 3 years. And the owner of the told the gardener, said, "Go ahead and cut that thing down. It's wasting good soil and sucking up moisture and water that all the vines need, that all the grapes need. So go cut it down." But the gardener was persistent and patient. He said, "Wait, let's wait. Now let me dig around it. Let me cultivate it. Let me put manure on it and see if we can get it to bear fruit. And if it does next year, then great. If it doesn't, okay. All right." You see, though, as you read that, it's not a parable about judgment. It is a message of urgency and hope. It's as if God is saying to us, I'm going to do everything I can to make this tree really live and bear fruit. And while we are wasting time speculating on which people are getting what they deserve in life, you know, the gardener is busy loosening up the hard soil of our hearts. He's preparing us to live an abundant life, one that's rich and full. And the fruits of God described in Scripture are things like generosity and compassion and service and peacemaking and justice and respect and witness, all those things. So the question for us this morning on this fourth Sunday of Lent is, are these fruits, are they the hallmark of my life? As a church, we ask, are these the hallmark of our church? Is my congregation spreading outward in mission to others? Or are we just scrambling to maintain ourselves in what we as a church think we want? The stories that Jesus tells us are real, and they're here for a purpose. They are as real as the earthquake in Haiti, or a flood in California, cancer in your family, death of a child, a heart attack with your parents, maybe an innocent child who gets caught in the crossfire of a drug war. It's real. Time is fleeting. So the question is, what needs to be done daily? What is it that God has for me? Not what's my schedule, but what is it that's God's schedule? What needs to be said? Not what I selfishly in retaliation want to say, but what is it that God wants me to say? What am I doing with this gift of life that God has given me? Am I doing important stuff or just stuff? Am I doing eternal things or just things? This parable tells us to live and to bear fruit. Good fruit. And as I read it, chuckled to myself. I thought, well, could this be the year for pigs? Could finally bear some really good. Could it be a bumper crop? That's my prayer for us. Think about it, pray about it, talk to God about it. Let Him change your heart. Let Him prepare you for what He has for you to do this year and the years to come. We come to the table with all of that kind of circulating in the back of our mind about what it means to live a life that's pleasing to God rather than ourselves. Because that's what it's about, is remembering the nature of Christ's sacrifice. It's not about us. It's about what He did for us and our response to that. It's always been about Him. And so as we come to communion, let me give you a word of encouragement. If you are a believer, we want to commune with you. Whether you're a member of College Park or not, it does not matter. We practice open communion. We love to commune with you. And it's the time of fellowship to commune with one another as well as with God. So there will be some music playing. But as you pass the tray to one another, serve one another. This is not a self-sufficient act. It's an act of service one to another. Serve one another and serve the God who gave His life. I'm going to ask your forgiveness if my family and I leave at this time. We want to speak with all of you. Just a showing you have on this morning. Jeff and Mary.
what Jesus felt the night before. And he gathered his disciples. And the culmination of all he was teaching came to a point. And he took the bread and he broke it, knowing the lashes that were to come, the nails that were to be driven. And yet he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, and remember me." Thank you. In the same way, he took the cup, all the while knowing what was coming. Because he knew that you and I were broken, and we need the sacrifice that only he can bring. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you. Take it. Words often fail us, but God's word always sustains. As we consider what God has been teaching to me and to all of us today, I pray that you would be open to his leading, to what he may be speaking to your heart. Once the disciples finished the Last Supper, the same hymn, and we try to be like the disciples. We try to follow Jesus' example. And so during this next hymn, which is hymn number 300, we're going to offer you an opportunity to respond to what you have heard. Either there or where you stand, or I'll be down front, spend time in prayer. We invite you during this hymn to reflect and to respond on what God has been doing in your heart this morning. Let it not be too late. Whatever he's saying to you, respond today. Let's stand and sing our hymn. Congregation at College Park Baptist Church. family that we are. We know that you are hurting Raymond, Sandra, and Ashley, the entire family. There are still lots of unanswered questions at this point about the arrangements. As we become aware of those, we will make you aware. Many of you have called and texted and personally asked, what can we do? There will be something soon. Mostly prayer. Mostly prayer for the next several days as reality becomes all too new for them. Prayer. Messages, letters, cards, certainly are absolutely welcome. As more needs become known, we will let you know. But we also know that they are not the only ones hurting while we are putting our emphasis on them. Certainly, we know that many of you are going to have questions because of the challenge that you've heard from Raymond today and his family. You may want to talk to me or to Mary or Krista, any of our church staff. We will be here all week as we always are. We're going to give Raymond all the time that he needs to take care of himself and his family. Your deacons, reach out to your deacons if you are in need. Lori Coggle is our chair of deacons. Speak to her. Jeremy Caldwell is deacon of the week. We are here to do this together. Aren't you glad for College Park?
Amen.
As we go, may God bless you and go with you. May you know how precious you are in His sight. May we walk in His strength, knowing that today is not the end. But God in His eternal goodness and grace has already won the battle. And for that we walk in victory, even in our grief. Father in heaven, we give our very lives to you. We lift up our face to see you as you are, as the one who conquered death. We give you our very lives.